You're about to climb a mountain. That is, if you're franchising your business, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be valleys, and you're going to need tools and pulleys and a lot of grit. So if you are franchising your business, what can and should success look like? And more important, what does it feel like to build a successful franchise system? And there's no better person to have this conversation with than a good friend, Ken Parsons, founder of Brothers That Just Do Gutters.
I look at business in general as a mountain that you never summit. I love the whole brain trust of franchising in that you have so many people that can collaborate together to innovate and make everything better for everyone.
Talk about journeys, right? It's been a long one.
Yes, it has. It certainly has.
So,
how are you doing, Charles?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here just thinking about all the great moments we've gotten to experience over the years together. And really, I remember those first moments where, I mean, you and Ryan are two of the most positive people I've ever met in my life and enjoy life. And at the same time, just are amazing at business. But I can reflect back and I remember our first conversations. I remember after Brothers franchised and being at conferences together. I remember some of the lulls. And what I tell people in the background, they just never stopped getting better over time. And so I think your story, and it's going to be helpful to so many people.
Well, I appreciate that. And I love stories. So,
all right. So Ken, just baselining right now, Brothers That Just Do Gutters, you have how many territories and franchisees out there?
We're about 120 franchisees or so out there, and probably around 425 units sold.
Right. And it's a home service-based business, very precise. You do gutters. And then how many years ago did you franchise?
It was right at the end of 2014. So that's the official date. But we started in 2015.
What I find so important is that when you franchise, you did it in a precise way. You launched, you onboarded those pioneering franchisees. You really built around them and created success, and at the right time, scaled and grew. So if this journey of franchising your business is a mountain, right, and we're climbing it, I'm sure we've fallen a bunch of times and you've gotten damaged and hurt and you kept coming back. So where do we start? If someone's considering franchising, how do you focus on this and decide what's the right pathway?
Well, I love the mountain analogy because I look at business in general as a mountain that you never summit, and I think a lot of people, when they're climbing that mountain, they get stuck on some of these cliffs of complacency is what I call them. And that's something that I just don't, when that stuff kind of creeps in, you can't camp out there for too long. You got to keep pushing forward and keep climbing the mountain, because if you camp out at the cliff of complacency for too long, as time continues to pass you by, something can pass you by. And that happens in business a lot, where you can get passed up by another brand or a similar concept, and you got to move fast. But at the same time, I think that there's a lot of other things that are important to building sustainable growth and a long-term business model. And I really think that all starts with, it starts with you as a person, because you have to be a person that is, that's a leader and that can influence others to grab a hold of the vision of what you're trying to do with the products and services that you're bringing to the community that you're marketing to, and then get them to buy into that vision, but then not stop there. You got to start developing those people that are on your team into the leaders that they need to be in order to scale your organization to the level that you want to get it to. And, I really think that's probably one of the most important things that has helped Ryan and I to be able to do that. And have the success that we've had is really all the internal work that we've done on ourselves over the years has amounted to the external results that we wanted to see manifest in our business.
It's so interesting that how you're focused on the success pathway, right? Because the typical responses would be about sales, about growth numbers, external factors, and you're totally introspective. And I think it's so hard for entrepreneurs. I know, even when I reflect on myself, you know, for decades ago or years ago, everyone's thinking about, if I get to this level, then I can focus on the leadership and then I could focus on the core values. But I mean, you said some powerful things, right? One, I'm thinking in my head, am I on a cliff of complacency? And I want to talk about that more, but you went right to leadership and you connected that leadership to your products and your services and your customer experience. And then you did what great leaders do. You talk about your team. What I find so interesting, and so for those that are going to be listening to this, I mean, I remember when we first started working together, Brothers at Just Do Gutters was a great local business that provided great service. And you had a team, not as big as the team you have now. And for everyone out there thinking about franchising or just growing your business, one of the most positive experiences I have is when I speak to Ken's team and one person in particular, Gabby. And I think about her journey and where these guys and where this team went from local business and Gabby working at a local level in that business to now being a franchise professional and leading teams and watching your teams grow. I mean, it's just amazing to see the progress.
I appreciate it. And that's what's amazing about franchising that I loved. When I started learning about it back in probably like 2007, eight, right in the start of the Great Recession. You know, that was a big turning point for Ryan and I. It was a big turning point for me of, you know, what is it that I want to get out of business? And I went on this personal development and self-education craze. And I just was devouring any information that I could. And I'm still am. I've slowed down a little bit. But I think that's super important to associate with people that are already where you want to go. I think one of the things that is really important too is that you have to define what it is that you want, learn from somebody who has done it and has the fruit on the tree, and then just go do what they've done. I didn't have that. I didn't have that mentorship. I didn't have any of that growing up. I knew how to work real hard, but I was told to do, learn, and define. And I think that once you break free of that mentality, that mindset, and then you can teach other people how to do that within your organization, that's when you can really, really drive the business in a way that is going to create opportunity for others. And as you do that and bring your team along the journey, like with Gabby, you know, she sat in on our coaching calls with our earliest franchisees and pilot models for 2 years. And she learned every little thing about the business, being a fly on the wall behind Ryan and I while we were coaching these other people. So I think also leadership is about getting there in the trenches and showing the people that, you know, you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, but also sharing with them and not being afraid to share with them all the intricacies that, you know, make the business go forward, and them being able to see that, man, you know, these guys are including me. I feel a part of it. You know, we're just, you know, Ryan and I aren't big on titles either. You know, everybody we hire that's risen into upper management and stuff, it's like, you know, it's not like, oh, the CEO has just walked in or anything like that. It's we're all a team and we all have our roles and we all know what we need to do. We know what our big rocks are. We know what we're striving for. We know the direction that the ship is heading in. I think that's really important. And having those people that are much more passionate about like the intricacies of marketing, the intricacies of brand development, the intricacies of the accounting side of things and the legal side and the compliance side of things. All those different departments will start to build out in your business as you release control. I really think that's important for us to not step out of the way, but to step aside as leaders to be able to let other people flourish, because they're going to be able to have more laser-like focus on aspects of the business as that you, as the leader of the business, you just can't do it. You have to be and keep yourself at a much higher level of mindset to be able to continue to create opportunity for those people to do it. And that's how I view business. That's my philosophy, is developing leaders that develop leaders. And Gabby is certainly a prime example of what great leadership is. And she was hungry for it. I think the ingredients that you're looking for those of you who may be struggling with finding those leaders, is you want somebody that's hungry, you want somebody who's honorable, and you want somebody who's honorable. And then they're engaged. They're engaged in what you're wanting to do, and they're bought in. That's what we like to look for here at Brothers Gutters. And that translates all the way through to the franchisee that's hiring an apprentice out in the field. That whole philosophy works for doing exactly that.
Yeah. And I when you find those people, then at the leadership level, you feel obligated to elevate them and empower them with those skills. And your team knows you'd stand in front of a train for them, right? So you guys are amazing leaders. We're speaking sort of not after the fact, but, and again, you never sum it, but you guys have done remarkable things, and there'll be other business owners watching this and franchisors or people thinking about franchising, and they're like, yeah, your advice about associating with the right people and learning from others. So as you reflect backwards, if we backcast some of these success factors and you're giving advice to either another service-based business or retail business, but someone who shares, they're aligned on values, they want to elevate team, but they're, Ken, what do I need to do? What were some of the success tools along the way? What was the map and strategy at a general level? And what are signposts I need to be looking for to know I'm going in the right direction?
So I think one of the things is that you have to lay the foundation first, no matter what you're doing. And that foundation, you know, I break up our business into departments. You know, I've got the marketing department, I've got our call center department, we've got our brand development department and compliance and HR. You know, you can't, when you're starting out, Ryan and I were doing a lot of that stuff. But you gotta have enough capital to build out and invest in the leaders to help you to propel it forward. Because once you start getting going and gaining momentum, if you only have a team of like five or six, which I see a lot of emerging brands falling into that category, you're going to be, and if you sign up with a franchise development company, and they're going to blow the doors off of it for you, which typically happens, you're going to have a lot of issues, growth issues and growing pains. We didn't really experience that because we weren't building a business for EBITDA. We weren't building a business to sell it and make all the numbers look pretty. We were building a business to do exactly what you said. We were investing and reinvesting into the business, the money that it was making in the beginning, into people. And that was our asset that we were focused on. And I think that's really important, is focusing on that. What does the organizational chart of this brand look like? And who am I going to need to help me? What is my lane that I need to stay in so that I don't get in the way of others? I see that happening too. You got to be able to relinquish control. You got to get those people you know, I can't be doing accounting and bookkeeping if I'm leading the charge and casting vision and creating opportunity. I can't be doing answering calls in the call center, or I can't be doing marketing. I can't be doing those things. So I think building a foundation is super important with the team, but also when it comes to your system that you're going to be handing over to people, your system has to go beyond the franchisee. It has to take into mind the people that they are going to be hiring. And if you don't have a system that's created for that, to help franchisees, you know, it's one thing to hire people and get them in the door, but the biggest problem that people are having is keeping them once they're in the door. And the turnover rate is just astronomical in business right now. And how do we rekeep these people? You know, what is our rekeeping program? How do we do that? Well, that's with the culture. And culture is going to be defined by you as the leader and how that spreads across your franchisees, how it spreads across your corporate team and how they integrate and work with the franchisees. And then what does the support look like going forward for the life of your franchisees, down to who they're hiring? I think having clear pathways to success, if you don't have one of those for franchisees to give to employees that they're going to be hiring, I think that's a big miss that I see in a lot of businesses today. It just really solidifies the language that's being spoken through an organization from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. Jocko Willink talks about that in Extreme Ownership. And I'm a big fan of working in the bottom of my team. If I'm not working in the bottom of my team to make sure that those people have the tools that they need to be successful, but beyond that, creating a learning organization and getting the art and the science married together and interwoven into the actual systems that you've created. Otherwise, systems will just, a system or an operational manual, a lot of people just throw that thing right on the shelf and then they're just going to go at it and do what they got to do. But if you can get them to buy into that part of it and then to actually work that, that is going to create a, that's going to create a culture where employees want to, because they're going to thrive in that kind of environment because you've reignited the hope of wanting to learn, and learning actually results in them making more money, right? That's how you attract the employees monetarily in the beginning, but they'll leave you for a dollar an hour to go work for somebody else. How are you going to keep them? Well, that's how you keep them. You got to develop a system that also has the culture and the learning aspect interwoven into it. And that's going to make your business great.
I'm writing notes, Ken, and like I'm reflecting myself here, which is why I enjoy and I'm looking forward to meeting up next week too. But so lay a foundation, right? Build a team to fuel momentum. These are my Ken Parsons notes. But so for the new franchisors out there, I think it's important for them to understand that as you're reflecting on all these things and the advice, for the first couple of years, it was just Ryan, Gabby, and this very small team. And you scaled over time. I think the wise decision you made was you limited your franchise sales. You limited the obligations you were taking on, and you slowly built up. When I reflect on the Brothers Just Do Gutters, you know, if someone measured your growth over a 4-year time horizon, they'd say it's a slow growth company, right? But then if they widen the lens, they're like, they're the 1% of the 1%. So what was it like? Because you guys were doing a lot of these things yourselves, no?
Yeah, there was some heavy lifting in the beginning, probably back in 2008 when we decided that franchising was the way, you know, that we wanted to head in. It was a lot of focus on those system things, right? And then in 2010, which was another turning point. I believe having a business coach is super important. That's when we got a business coach. Ryan and I finally learned how to read a P&L and not operate our business from how much is in the checking. All right, we'll be
That's
good.
So funny. Yeah, my God. Okay.
And then we had two pilot programs in 2010. I think really proving out your concept and having pilot programs in the beginning is really helpful, because what you don't want is to start with a widget or a great idea and then go right to franchising and let your first franchisees be your guinea pig of, you know, for everything. And that's what'll happen. That's what I've seen it happen a lot of times. So one of the things that we did early on is we had a lot of people that we started associating with that were franchisees in other brands. And we would ask them questions all the time. And every time, same thing comes back, and you've heard it too. How do you like your franchise? What do you think they could do better? And it's always support. So Ryan and I were hyper-focused on that. And then just building out our support and knowing that, you know, we're going to need this, we're going to need that. And that all came out of the feedback that we were getting and seeing, not just from that small team that we had back in 2010, but also from the pilot program of the two different areas outside of New York State of our headquarters. We had one in Jersey and one in Lynchburg, Virginia, which happened to be brother-in-laws who put their faith and trust in us to help them become successful in business. And it was great because it really showed the things that worked. And then it also showed things that we needed to really improve on in the business. For one, them answering phones or not answering phones because they're too busy or they're up on a roof was not good. So one of our teammates, who's now the manager of our call center, Karen, said, why don't we take their calls for them? And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. So great ideas come from having, you know, these people on your team. You know, certainly getting people on your team that are thinkers and, you know, that can innovate really. And that's how the call center was born, which is a great vertical within our business model. And it also is a differentiator in that it separates us from everybody in our industry, because we call when we answer when you call. And then there's a lot more that goes beyond that. You know, getting it to 2015, by the time we were ready, we overbuilt it. And I think that's something that you had recognized early on as when we signed up with you guys and met you, that, you know, I remember it's like we're, you feel like when you come into this world of franchising and you're trying to get awareness, and now you're this local celebrity that, you know, within your community because you have a great business. And then it's like, oh my God, I feel like a freshman in high school again. It's like, I felt so out of place, Ryan and I. And it was like, you know, you helped a lot though, Charles, helping us navigate through a lot of that. And that's what it was good is that once you get into that, you start navigating it, and you just start working at figuring it out. And it wasn't until probably 2021 was our first confirmation day with Franchise Fastlane, doing our first confirmation day. And we had built it up to about 15 franchisees at that point. And that was it, being that we put all this work in for years and years and years. And I'm not saying everybody has to put years and years and years. You could certainly shortcut that if you have people that can coach you and say, hey, you need this, this, and this, and you need an organizational chart that looks like this to be able to support this kind of growth. And that was good about Carrie Gilley. She was very helpful in the beginning of saying, because that was one of my concerns. All right, I know you guys are going to do it. Yeah, the proof is in the pudding here. What do we need? What do we need to do? And you can't be afraid to and do whatever it takes to get the whatever you got to get the right people on your team. And if you got to spend that money, spend it, because it will come back to you. Because we when I look back at our run of 2 years, we had one glitch for a month in our call center. We got overwhelmed for about a month. and we fixed it very quickly. And from there, it has been smooth sailing. And a lot of people ask, well, you know, and that was, I replaced myself. I was the friend development guy. And then I moved into the founder role. And, you know, it's nice to be the guy that's the good guy when the franchisees see you and call you and say, you know what, Ken, Luke Smith from Columbus, Georgia, every month I get a call from him and he says, you know what, Ken, I just want to give you a call today because I want to thank you for franchising your business.
That's the magic. What does that feel like when you get those calls?
From the time I was a young guy in sports and in high school and stuff, I always felt like, you know, creating a team and working together as a team. I just got, you know, I could, you know, even if I scored a touchdown or pinned a guy in a match, but I was just as excited and even more excited when my teammates had success. So that's something that's been in me. And I think that's something that's super important because your teammates feel that. And when I create opportunity like that for franchisees across the country, we all do business because obviously there's one important part of business. We want to make money, and money does a lot of things for us in our personal lives and our families and stuff. But once that is taken care of, and man, helping other people to do that for themselves and be able to buy their dream home that they grew up across the street from, and there's a pond there, and they grew up across, and this old lady finally is like wants to sell it, and they're able to buy it because of your franchise and them doing it, and now they live across the street from their parents and the grandparents, and the kids get to see each other and jump in the pond and go fishing and whatever. I mean, and there's so many stories like that will happen, and I think it's worth it. Take your time. I mean, one of the best books on the planet is The Tortoise and the Hare. Slow and steady wins the race. And don't get yourself so ahead of yourself to where you take shortcuts at the expense of your brand and the services that you're going to offer. Make sure you build a really strong foundation. And that foundation is going to lead to something huge. And the rewards are great when you get to the other side of it, having people all over the country that lives have been changed because of what you've done. What is better than that, Charles?
No, look, I get excited when I see, well, I've sent you photos too. We've had brothers gutters here. And when you're thinking about it, like I love, for whatever reason, Ken, when you described the house, you talked about the ponds, right? I don't know why that, but like you're impacting lives. And then their children are going to college. And I mean, to think about in all these other states, someone's wearing the Brothers That Just Do Gutters like shirt, and it matters to them and it matters to their customers. And I think it's amazing. And for everyone who's listening to this video, just know it's genuine. Like I can't think of your brother, Ryan, without seeing, I could see him in my head. If I think Ryan, I see Ryan, I see him smiling.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've never met more genuine and deserving people than you guys. And then for the people thinking about franchising, I mean, hear what Ken said before working with an FSO. A part of that journey, which was say 5 years, you had 15 franchisees. You didn't have more than that. And when it came time to scale, not only did you have 15, you had 15 that are validating, like, yeah, I love these guys and I do it again, and good unit economics in the item 19. Otherwise you have nothing. And, but which gets to the bigger picture, the bigger point, part of what you're saying is you really need amazing products and services, and it doesn't have to be that on day one, and you didn't have a call center on day one, but that certainly has to be the goal and the destination.
Yeah. And then also, you know, what are you going to do to keep those franchisees that started with you in the beginning and 5 years down the road to be just as happy or even more happy? I think that's important too. And how do you support them, and what are the opportunities that you're going to create for them? Because what you'll find and what I love about franchising is that a lot of our franchisees are now becoming part of corporate. They're building their businesses to a point where their businesses are running without them because they've adopted the leadership model that we've taught them. And now they're either building out their territories more, starting satellite offices, or they're doing the field ops call on a monthly basis for all the other franchisees, like Jimmy and Jesse Olang do that. We have another one, Doug Harmon, who's interested in coming on board for the IT because he has a background in that. So what's cool about franchising is you have all these people, a lot of them are career in transition, and a lot of them have things that can make you better at supporting the rest of the franchisees. And how much better can you look to other franchisees by have other franchisees involved at the corporate level? I mean, it's I love the whole brain trust of franchising in that you have so many people that can collaborate together to innovate and make everything better for everyone. And I think that gets people excited.
When you're talking with your kids or your wife, like, and they're, and you guys are reflecting on the journey and like, do you ever sit back and say, like, we built this? And like, what's the feeling? What's the thoughts?
It's great because my kids, they live through it, especially my older ones. I have a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old yesterday, and I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. So the older ones, they're business minded. They understand the importance of leadership, and we've taught them these principles and they've lived through these principles and seen the changes of the business and of me and personally and my wife. And it's just been an incredible journey. And my son and I started a Brothers Gutters. We became franchisees of the franchise system, right, in Tyler, Texas. So we did that back in 2017. He was 16 years old when we started that business. And what was cool about that, back to leading, depth, creating depth within your organization is what leads to a long-term organization. And me and him were working out in the field together. I was hanging gutter.
Yeah,
I was doing it, man. I remember it was the first year was 2021. COVID hit. I had full-blown COVID, and so did he.
Is this Hunter?
Hunter, yeah. So yeah, he's coming to the Frame Camp conference. So we're working out there in July, heat advisory, full-blown COVID. We are just a mess. Yeah. We're the only two on the truck. We had work out our yin yang, and we couldn't keep up. I mean, we could not sit in a bed and just do what probably most people, we had to go out there and hang the gutters. And since we were essential and we would call people and say, listen, we could get the work done, but we need to stay socially distant because, we didn't go as far as to say, how sick we were, but we got the work done and we did it. And then, my son learned a lot from that, right? How much can we teach our people when we're getting in there and they know that we're not 100% and we're doing it? And not only that, he went from the skills ladder program all the way up from an apprentice to the field supervisor. And a year and a half later, he's in charge of 3 trucks and a whole warehouse and everything going in and out at 18 years old. Those are the kinds of things that I think really, really make a difference. And for your kids too. I mean, how awesome is it for kids to be able to learn those kinds of principles of business from us as parents and being able to show them, hey man, in my family, it's you got to earn it or deserve it. And that's the way I treat my employees. And I don't care if you're family or friends or whatever, you got to earn it to deserve it. And that's it. You got to have that kind of accountability also interwoven into your system so that you can keep people accountable for the pathways of success that you laid before them. Having a great LMS training system was important. it taught my son a lot. And my daughter, Haley, she's also an entrepreneur, and she wants to get, she's getting a business degree at Liberty University. And, you know, they're all on a path of that would make any dad proud. So, I'm excited. My kids are great. And, you know, I love business, and it's good to see that they love it too. And, you know, it's been great.
And they're learning from your actions. I sometimes, because when I'm driving in the morning and like, what's motivating me, right? And I think sometimes part of it is to set an example as best I can for my sons. And it's even little things. Like, I'm looking forward. My older son will be coming next. We're going to be meeting up at a mastermind in Chicago. I'll get to meet Hunter. One of my goals, and this is a genuine goal, and one of the reasons why I'm so excited you're coming next month, is I want my son to meet you and spend time with you. So
great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, and I can't wait to meet Hunter. I can't thank you enough. This is awesome stuff. I'm looking forward. 5 years from now, hopefully we'll be doing one of these, maybe from an island together, but also talking about great businesses. So I appreciate it, Ken.
That'd be great. Yeah, this was great. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.